ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Another jam-packed celebrity and newsmaker hotline this morning. Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat of the great state of California.
That's right. Jim's representative.
Yes, there's a pothole we need to talk about. There's a light in the valley.
Oh, duh, the traffic lights. Don't get me started on the traffic lights.
And then we'll also talk about the economy.
Whatever.
Stuff that matters to other people other than Jim.
We need to talk about the traffic lights over here in front of Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. I seem to stop at every single one.
Well, let's get that congressperson on.
Yes.
Former Olympic figure skater and cancer survivor Scott Hamilton on the Celebrity Hotline today. And also Patrick Campbell. He works with Paul Rieckhoff at the, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans for America group.
That's right.
Lots of big doings in the news and going on.
I have something in common with Scott Hamilton.
What's that?
We worked at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Wow.
He had to wear lederhosen too?
No, he was, choreographed some ice skating show and his name was on it. And so, yeah, we worked at Busch Gardens at the same time.
Jack Wagner was a tour guide when I was at
wearing costumes somewhat less embarrassing when you get an Olympic medal for it. So
well, that is true. I wore polyester lederhosen.
Oh, God.
Okay. Which is almost embarrassing, except for the polyester kimono I had to wear when I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum at Universal Studios.
Stay away from open flame if you're wearing any kind of polyester.
Actually, my kimono, not that embarrassing until I got too fat from eating goldfish crackers off the bar and to wear it. Then it was embarrassing.
Kimonos are Japanese. Don't really belong in Chinese restaurants. So.
I know.
They didn't think that through, did they?
As I sat at the bar cursing my life and overeating goldfish crackers.
I was on the tram cursing my life on the microphone.
Were you there the same year?
Jim was a tour guide at Universal. Oh, goodness. All right, lots of big doings in the news. Healthcare, huh? We got something going on. We got the president's press conference yesterday.
The only way these steps will have an enduring impact is if they are taken not in isolation, but as part of a broader effort to reform our entire healthcare system.
All right, we will get Patrick Campbell from Veterans of America, his take on the shooting that was very unfortunate at Camp Liberty yesterday. Admiral Mike Mullen.
It does speak to me, though, about the need for us to redouble our efforts, the concern in terms of dealing with the stress.
And Dick Cheney will not shut his evil pie hole.
They have moved to take down a lot of those policies we put in place that kept the nation safe for nearly 8 years.
Oh, bite me.
Okay, we have another great Andrew Sullivan article on what Cheney is doing and his panic, his white-knuckled panic.
Yes.
Which makes me happy. All right, I believe Ann Coulter noted equine hermaphrodite.
Junk-toting stick figure.
Yes.
Yes.
She yesterday said waterboarding not torture, it's not like sticking electrodes on your testicles.
Yes.
Which is
and
just,
she would know.
But enough about her weekend.
Man, Coulter, baby. Whew, that was torture. Attaching electrodes to your testicles. That's torture.
Ooh. Wow.
And she would know from attaching electrodes to your testicles.
She does that for fun.
Didn't she? Well, to hers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're big enough to withstand it.
The size
that's
of
just
lemons.
That's foreplay for her.
They make electrodes big enough for this.
I'm more of a man than any liberal is.
Computer says yes. I have never told anyone what I'm about to tell you. I like to dress in women's clothing.
Testicles.
Man, Coulter, baby.
Wow.
Man,
Coulter. Testicles.
Man,
Coulter.
Thank you, Ken in Cleveland. All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, Ken? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Yes, Christopher Lavoie.
Point of order, Shano on the live blog wrote and said they're not goldfish crackers at a Japanese restaurant. They're called koi fish crackers.
Except it's a Chinese restaurant.
Thank you, Shano. All right. The headline is Terminator Scoop Bale versus Naked Schwarzenegger. Oh, boy. The future of mankind comes down to a cockfight. Two of them, actually,
A what
so
fight?
These...
roosters.
Oh, okay.
That's two of them, actually, or so the star and the director of Terminator Salvation told reporters today. In round one, franchise newcomer Christian Bale faces off against a totally nude Arnold Schwarzenegger, the original Terminator model. Kind of. The filmmakers use fancy computer tricks to put the California governor's face on some young bodybuilder's body so he looks just like he did when he walked naked down the street in 1984. Arnold's face only shows up for a few shots before it in his package. They get mangled beyond recognition.
Oh, dear.
Which is worse than your femur breaking, I'm told. We have
worse than electrodes on your testicles.
We have both of them.
Tristan Bale, behold my mighty member in despair. That's right, you're looking at Gonad the Barbarian, the Sperminator, the weapon of ass distraction. Don't be surprised if you go blind from jealousy. That's how I got my start lifting weights when I was a young boy. This is the weisswurst that grills you. This is the real Austrian oak, and it's as big as your femur. When I twirl it fast, I can fly. I call it the chopper. Take your little English banger and mash it, because you got no chance in this competition. Ah! Well, Arnold, I hope it was fun before, because it's nothing good now. Are you just so old you need reading glasses? Why are you forgetting all those years of steroid injections? You don't have enough for a Vienna cocktail wiener. I don't know how you managed to have any kids with that. Do you have a few drops left in the pipe after your balls turned into BBs? You should star in the next Transformer movie. You can play...
Oh, dear. Are you okay? Do you need a Heimlich?
You could play Alpinus Subprime. You've turned into the Hopinator. You go to the John for the fifth time that night and hope you can find it before you pee all over the toilet seat. I'd say it was distracting to have you bring on that on set while I'm at work, but I'd be lying. So go already. You're irrelevant. Who are you calling an elephant? Ah! La-da-da-da-da! Ah! La-da-da-da-da! Ah!
That's my new favorite. We can dispense with Howard Dean now. All right.
Are you okay? Are you?
Christian Bale gets worked up.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you know, if you know one thing about me, you know me. The mama loves her some Dr. Phil. Ever since I went on the Dr. Phil show.
And you're hoping
Dr.
they
Phil
ask
and
you
I
back.
Like this. Mm-hmm. So it pains me to read the headline, Bloodbath of the Dr. Phil Show.
Well, yes.
As the TV shrink fires practically half his staff. Yikes.
Oh, boy.
My friend's on that staff. Let's see if he survived the bloodbath. Yikes.
Wasn't your friend formerly on your staff?
Yes.
Hmm.
Listen, when you work on any Stephanie Miller TV project, you know you'll be looking for other work soon.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
It was a bloodbath on the Dr. Phil show, according to the Inquirer, as the TV shrink fired half his staff this season. The once popular program has hit a rating snag, and segment planners are under tremendous stress, and Dr. Phil's marriage seriously challenged, according to sources. Right now, it's very much a sinking ship mentality, said an insider. I've never seen such stress. Oh, dear, we have Dr. Phil needs to get some advice from Dr. Phil, I think.
I suppose you've heard I will be cutting the staff. No, seriously, I will cut you. I got me a big old hunting knife, and I will field dress you Sarah Palin style. If any of y'all even look at me sideways. You! What are you looking at? I know what you're thinking. Where there's a big old tub of goo I can't get off right in the 7 Secrets to Weight Loss Success and the 7 Secrets to Weight Loss Success workbook. I'm going to cut you! And you're thinking, what a big fat bald hypocrite, lecturing other people about their relationships, especially about fidelity, when he's been playing half the kielbasa with half the female staff and groping the other half while on the phone with his long-suffering wife.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm going to cut you, too!
Oh, no.
Oh, now you done brought the police on it.
Sir, put down the knife.
You'll never take me alive, copper! So many effects here.
Yeah.
Take the... Duh.
Zap. That's where they...
Don't taste me, Colonel!
We didn't, sir. That was your wife.
Lie to my life, Robin. How could you? How's this working out for me?
No, that's when the body fall comes.
Okay. That's all for... Is that all? That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. That was... My goodness. It is a bit of a bloodbath at Dr. Phil, isn't it?
It was a sound effects bloodbath, that's for sure.
Well,
I played what you told me to play.
If you like more Jim Ward, yeah. Calderall, no. He has time to fix that and post on Jim Ward's website.
Yes, Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Check out the tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
There you go. Okay, boy, howdy. All right. We need to get a video camera in here.
I need to work out my hand signals better. So, what does a zap look like? And what?
All right. He needs some sort of third base coach signals. All right.
Yeah.
What the? Lindsay Lohan pregnant? Oh, Squeezy, how did you miss this? The Mean Girl star allegedly slept with a number of men following her split from her girlfriend.
Huh.
I told
Damn
you
it.
She would need comforting and...
Damn it.
Oh,
apparently
dear.
She also needed something else.
She doesn't know where the father is, according to a source. She must have slept with more than 2 dozen men in the past couple months, said the source. Oh, dear.
Damn
there
it.
Was an opening there somewhere for you, but...
She's a troubled
Whatever.
Girl.
Oh, dear. All right.
Crazy in the head.
Well, that'll you know show the playing. Girlfriend. Ha ha! Okay. All right. Wow, we. Hey, Boy George is out of prison.
And he actually looks good.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
He served a 15-month sentence for...
He's iron in the joint and these kinds of things.
You remember he falsely imprisoned a rent boy, is what they're referring to it as. He chained a guy that was a wall in his torture dungeon or something.
Whatever.
You know how that happens. I didn't even know that was illegal. Okay.
Who do you have chained in,
What's
up
a
in your...
rent boy? Is that a British thing?
And no, I guess it's someone you buy off the internet, you know, for sexual relations.
Oh, good to know. Mm-hmm. GTK, okay. I didn't know you could do that either.
Someone Can who we? Sells his body for the rent money.
You don't even have to rent
I
Lindsay
need
to, Lohan.
I need...
Damn.
I need to buy one
Damn.
Of those. One that's less chatty to the police and such.
Yeah.
It's not going to get the police on it.
The popo.
Okay. Exactly. Oh, no. Get ready to say, what? Oh, no. Amy Winehouse had a disastrous comeback. What? Oh, no. She,
I'm still thinking Lindsay Lohan. But, move on.
No.
Sorry, Jim. It's too late now. Okay. She needed the comforting, and you weren't there. Amy Winehouse abandoned a St. Lucia gig halfway through the performance. Get ready for the, you know, the most entertaining part is when her spokesman comes out with the explanation.
She still has a spokesman?
Yes, now that's a job.
Yeah, oh.
Would you like
wow.
the job as Amy Winehouse's spokesperson?
Oh, no, thanks.
They probably just spitball a whole list of stuff, of excuses that just, you know.
It's probably the same guy who's representing this guy who allegedly murdered 3 of his wives or whatever.
Oh, that's that Peterson guy. Yeah. Peterson
yeah.
guy.
He's got a publicist.
Yeah. his wives were all just unlucky.
Yes.
She was forced to abandon a comeback gig in St. Lucia after a torrential rain hit the island. However, onlookers claim the real reason she left was because the audience booed her shambolic performance. The she
shambolific, baby.
We didn't boo your shambolic Dr. Phil, even though there was some, you know, okay.
Technical difficulties.
Yes, exactly, because it's raining here. Let's just go with that. No one knows.
It's foggy. Maybe you could...
She appeared to struggle with her balance and stumble through the lyrics. When the crowd began to jeer her, she is alleged to have shouted back, you, at least twice before leaving
As
the
Amy
stage.
As Amy Winehouse is wont to do.
However, Amy's spokesperson claims the star was forced to abandon the show because of weather conditions. He said Amy would like to express her disappointment that weather forced the abandonment of her show at the St. Lucia Jazz Festival last night. Circumstances beyond anyone's control meant that this special show did not go on as planned. One reader that was there said, if it was the rain, why did the act after her perform? Oh, dear.
Oh. Oh. Okay, there is that.
Oh, heavens. And we wish her well. All right.
Yes, we do.
20 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more celebrity stack, including what Tom Cruise plans to do and not do.
Huh?
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour.
You don't hear much Marky Mark in the Funky Bunch
no,
anymore.
You don't. There's a big void in talk radio.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number told.
That Woody Herman. Don't hear Woody Herman.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay, and perhaps with good reason. Okay. Joan Rivers won the Celebrity Apprentice. That was quite the bitch fight with her and the woman that got fired.
You're fired.
What's her name? Annie Duke was fired on the final face-off of Celebrity Apprentice.
Who's Annie Duke?
I don't know. Some other biatch.
No relation to Patty?
She wanted Joan Rivers to die. She was on the phone going, she needs to die.
Really?
Oh, it got really good. Yes. Yes. You know what? Joan Rivers, a woman after your own heart, Chris LaVoy, being a grammar stickler.
Yes.
There was one tense face-off yesterday. Duke said, for six boardrooms, I sat here and acted professional. Rivers corrected her professionally.
Yeah. I immediately thought that when you read that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're that kind of irritating grammar bug, aren't you? Okay, Tom Cruise insists he will not be making the move from Hollywood to Washington. The Top Gun star says he'll never,
embark. Did anybody ask him?
Maybe.
God.
He said, I'm an actor, not a politician. Well, you know, to be a politician, you have to lie, and he needs the truth.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Maybe I'll just have all the Scientologists vote for him over and over again, like they do when they buy L. Ron Hubbard books.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
It sold a billion copies.
The man who plays Homer Simpson's boss has topped a new magazine poll to find the worst TV boss, Montgomery Burns, and that is just...
Excellent.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we've had the voice of Montgomery Burns on this program.
Indeed, mm-hmm. We have. Harry Shearer.
That's right.
Yes.
On the earlier version of the program.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? Here's some breaking news, Chris. Oprah Winfrey, like you and I...
Yes.
...is on Team Jen.
You know, I'm on team, I don't give a flying rat's ass.
That's normally Jim's team.
I don't care anymore.
Some team, Angelina.
I really
some
don't
team.
Like either one of them anymore.
I'm still solidly with Oprah on Team Jen. Anyway, she's hosting a VIP shindig for President Obama at her home in Montecito this July.
Are you going?
I've not been invited yet. I was invited to the last one because I was able to cough up the scratch. I was at the fundraiser in her swamp. That the
I thought it was a meadow.
Yes, sure. It was a meadow party.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. That you couldn't wear high heels to.
Because Otherwise you'd sink into the swamp.
That's what she said.
Meadow.
I think she just didn't want other women to look good. Okay. She's hosting a VIP shindig for President Obama in Montecito in July. She had planned to book John Mayer to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jennifer Aniston's relationship with John Mayer cooled, Oprah decided not to have John entertained because she wants Jen there. So you see, solidly Team Jen. Okay. All right. Miss California keeping her title for now. Official.
I guess Trump is going to decide
that's
today.
Trump's having a press conference.
Yeah.
That's going to be huge, Jim.
Huge.
Huge. Huge.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Officials of the Miss California USA pageant strongly criticized some of the actions of title holder Carrie Prejean on Monday, but said it's not their decision whether she should be stripped of her crown. The co-executive director said only Miss USA pageant owner Donald Trump can make that decision. He plans to hold a press conference at 11 a.m. That's Eastern time.
Oh,
very
so we'll
exciting.
Be on the air.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Well, she carry it live.
Carry that live.
Officials had said...
I know you're waiting for my decision. It's something you got to do for me first.
Officials have said that Miss California has been unavailable. I don't know what that means. So in the meantime, they've appointed the runner-up. That doesn't seem to bode well.
No.
You're fired.
You'll know at 8 o'clock Pacific time. All right. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat of the great state of California, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've taken the liberty of anticipating your condition, and I brought you orange juice, coffee, and aspirins. Or do you need to throw up?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, a lot of stuff going on that requires you to be practically a CBA. CPA. You know, the economy and the TARP funds and the...
Whatever.
Certified public accountant.
Exactly my point. If only there was someone to make sense of it all. Yes, Chris, who is it?
Representative Brad Sherman from out here in California.
He's a former CPA.
That's right.
What are the chances of that? Good morning, Congressman.
Good to be with you, Stephanie.
You are one of the few CPAs, actually, in Congress. There's a fun fact about you.
I don't know if it's a fun fact, but it is a fact.
Because I got to tell you, this is above my pay grade, but you have to explain it to me. I know you have questioned the legality of recycling TARP funds by Tim Geithner and the administration. What does that mean, first of all?
Well, as you know, some of the banks are going to give back the money.
Right. Which seems good to me on its face.
It's a great idea. The question is, what happens to the money they give back?
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the press releases coming out of Treasury, they say, great, they give back the money, and we get to give it to other banks. And if you read the statute, it says that whatever money is sent back has to go into the Treasury right along with the money you sent in on April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And the statute says revenues of and proceeds of the sale of any troubled assets purchased under the TARP program shall be paid into the general fund. And I've brought this to Treasury's attention, and they say they'll get back to me. And that was a month ago. So I'm going to go to LaFleur today and drive home to my colleagues that, you know, the law matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's an overall effort of the executive branch to turn Congress into an advisory body. And one of the ways to do that is to hope that, you know, we pass these long statutes, just ignore parts of
without reading it, yeah. Yeah.
You know, now the fact, I mean, that's why I voted against the bill to begin with. I read it.
Right.
This is one of the parts that I read that I thought was good. And I'd hate to think that the good parts are just going to be ignored.
Mm-hmm. Now, why? Because you are one of the most senior Democratic members to have voted against the TARP. Tell us why.
Well, a number of reasons. First, I was concerned that we wouldn't get a good deal. And in fact, the report by Elizabeth Warren, who is the head of a commission established by Congress, shows that we got screwed to the tune of 31% of every dollar we invested. That is to say, the preferred stock we bought was worth 31% less than what we paid for it.
Mm.
And, in fact, at the same time we were investing in these banks, so was Warren Buffett, and he was doing it on much better terms.
Mm-hmm.
We got a 5% rate of return. He got a 10% rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got if you read the analysis, he got a fair deal. We got screwed.
Yep. Now, well, that's why he's Warren Buffett and we're not.
You don't have, you know, it's not like, okay, yeah, we invested competently and Warren's a genius. No, in this case, he negotiated a fair deal. Okay, he got about an extra couple percent, but and we just gave away the store.
Right. Now, Representative Sherman, what is your take on, you know, the economy overall? Because I know that we've obviously been hearing some encouraging signs. What is your take?
Well, you know, if I really knew what was happening in the economy, I'd be on the phone with my broker instead of on the phone with the show. But I think that we're at the bottom of the L. The question is, how long is the bottom of the L?
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, it's I'm hoping that that we've hit bottom, which means some things will continue to get worse, including unemployment.
Right.
And the fiscal condition of my own state in California and several other things. But the hope is that it's more or less stabilized. But then you got to say, what are we going to do to get out of this? And the trade deficit that we run and supports a big chunk of the world economy can't be is just poisonous to any mm-hmm. any attempt to rebuild the economy.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, you know, we've talked about this before, that, you know, we certainly understand a lot of us have bailout fatigue, but, you know, here comes health care, and, you know, now we've got the Republicans like John Boehner saying the same thing. You know, it's always like, oh, well, now we're spending too much money, you know, and health care, I mean, it is really stunning when you look at the facts, right, that we have the most costly health care system in the world. We have 50 million people nearly that are uninsured. We lag in life expectancy, infant mortality, among other developed nations. I mean, it's this is something we have to spend money on at some point, don't we?
Well, we have to spend money. If we do it right, we can actually save money. And I think the health outcomes that you described are in part because we've had 50 million people uninsured, and in part because of a lifestyle in this country may have more to do than health care. So much of health care is money spent just during the last year of life and doesn't really deal much with life expectancy.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the president obviously had this press conference yesterday with the coalition of U.S. health groups that would cut rising costs by $2 trillion over the next decade. Seems to me that it's a start. I mean, you know, the Republicans are already poo-pooing it, but we got to start somewhere on this health care debate, don't we?
Well, I don't want to poo-poo it too much, but it was a press release. It's not a binding commitment. It's not
right.
enforceable. And
so what do we do about that? My question is, what do we do about that? Because I know I heard that criticism.
What we do about it is go forward with a comprehensive health care reform with a public option. And it's odd. You have the company saying, let's just make a promise and have some sort of control and count on that. And the Democratic position is, no, let's introduce real competition. Let's have a public option and see whether some entity that isn't part of the private insurance club can offer a better deal to consumers.
Right. But, I mean, to me, it seems like this is a positive first step. I mean, we remember in the 90s when Bill Clinton took on health care reform, those same industry leaders fought back. That's what killed it, essentially, right? Whereas at least they're trying to step up now and be part of the solution, right?
I think they realize they're in a much weaker bargaining position. The economy is down. Healthcare costs are up. The number of uninsured is way up, and you just can't put a bunch of Harry and Louise TV commercials on and expect the public to go away.
Yep. How do you think that Republican rebranding is going for them?
Admission that they've got a huge problem. Second, I think they've got programs and values that will get them 40% of the national vote. The one thing that that could revitalize the Republican Party is if the economy gets much worse, and I don't know if people do look at the programs, but they also just look at results, which sometimes are a result of factors beyond the control of the United States. But,
right, right. Well, I mean, this you know,
if the economy gets worse, the Republicans will be there to say we told you so, even though they didn't.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. You know, this new deficit is going to top $1.8 trillion. But, you know, I'm reading the first economic analyst said the deficit's driven in large part by the economic crisis inherited by this administration. So I think you're right. It's the amount of time people are going to give President Obama and this administration to turn this ship around, right?
Well, yes, and the deficit should be down to about $500 billion, which is still a huge number, but it's only about a third of where we are now,
mm-hmm.
By 2014 under the Democratic budget plan. So we inherited a huge deficit, and we inherited a huge economic problem that required stimulus spending, which, of course, increases the deficit a bit. And we've got to deal with that, and then we've got to slowly dig our way out of this hole.
Mm-hmm. Representative Sherman, this whole interview was a guise to get to the part that you know we're trying to get to, is you are actually Jim Ward's congressman. And is it a light, Jim?
What's up with the traffic lights on Burbank? You're going east-west in Burbank, the numbers kept. If you're going south on Woodland, then there's a pothole over by...
Yeah,
Greenbush.
That's the city. That's not Representative Sherman. John.
It is a complete coincidence that we happen to have Congress people on that represent our districts. All right, Representative Sherman, thank you so much for taking time for us. And seriously, that light at Burbank Boulevard, it's something. Hurry up. All right, thank you, sir. We appreciate your time, as always.
Good to be with you, sir.
All right, there he goes. Representative Brad Sherman. He doesn't seem to take us seriously in our demands. All right. 43
I think he has bigger fish to fry than the pothole at Burbank Boulevard.
You know, I know I, like most people, can only think of one thing these days, and that is, what else does Dick Cheney have to say?
Oh, boy.
We'll tell you when we get back. 43 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I get it.
What?
Because when President Obama speaks at
Arizona State University.
Yes.
Alice Cooper's going to be singing this song
really?
Before he speaks?
What?
Oh, wow.
Cool. Oh.
And you know what? I just found out they're holding it at Sun Devil Stadium, which is an outdoor stadium, and
yes.
It's supposed to be in the hundreds there.
Oh, heavens.
Someone didn't think that through.
Yeah, but Alice Cooper's going to be there. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joe in Spokane on healthcare. Hey, Joe.
Well, hey, you know, you liberals really make me laugh on this healthcare. You don't got a clue.
Well, that's not very inclusive language starting off a conversation,
well, okay.
Is it?
But listen, Stephanie, all whether right. You have healthcare or I have healthcare or the 6-year-old kid down the street has a 2S chip, that's not what's important.
It's
what
not.
Is important is that your congressmen and your senators have the best healthcare.
All
and
right.
That's what counts. It really does.
That's yeah. Right.
They don't care about you. They got it.
Yes.
So why don't we take theirs away for a while and then see if
see
they
like
rethink
it.
Their position.
I agree with you, Joe.
Actually,
good
we,
idea.
There's something we all magically agreed on.
Yeah.
You liberals. I beg your pardon.
I think he was pulling right. Leg a bit with the you
liberals.
Oh, I see. Oh, I get
okay.
It.
You've been punked.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Dick. What the? Was Dick Cheney doing? He has a different thought every day he needs
mm-hmm.
to share with us, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was on, where was he, Face the Nation with Bob Schieffer this weekend?
They have moved to take down a lot of those policies we put in place that kept the nation safe for nearly 8 years.
See, there were no attacks, therefore torture works. It's logical. Oh. It's just obvious.
I have
right.
to hope we'll get to Andrew Sullivan's piece, but I have to hope that he's doing this because he is in a white-knuckled panic over being prosecuted
sure
for war crimes. But, this really is, sometimes the word is overused, unprecedented, but this is unprecedented. He continued his verbal assault against President Obama, saying the country is more vulnerable to a terrorist attack, blah, 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 blah. He said, I think that's my belief. I think to the extent those Bush-era policies were responsible for saving lives, the administration is now trying to cancel those policies. It means in the future we're not going to have the same safeguards we've had in the last 8 years. By the way, he said, Jim, did you catch this part, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? He said he did not cooperate fully in terms of interrogations until after waterboarding. Which is actually not what
true.
We've... Yes, I
yeah.
think is probably not true. That was what I was going to say.
Another lie.
But he said stuff like that you have no way of, you know, just trust him, I guess,
yeah.
because clearly he's been so trustworthy.
They were getting good information out of these guys, then they started torturing them, and suddenly the information they were getting was crap. Huh.
Yeah.
What can we draw from that?
That's what I was going to say. There was one of those moments where I'm like, that seems exactly the opposite of what I've heard to be, I know to be the truth about that whole situation. Dick Cheney.
We had... captured these people. We had pursued interrogation more normal way. We decided that we needed some enhanced techniques, so we went to the Justice Department, and the controversy has arisen over the opinions written by the Justice Department. The reason we went to the Justice Department wasn't because we felt we were going to take some kind of free hand assault on these people or that we were in the torture business. We weren't. If we had been about torture, we wouldn't have wasted our time going to the Justice Department.
Have I mentioned yet today that torture is illegal? It's illegal.
Yes.
It's illegal.
No matter what you call it, enhanced interrogation
yes.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's illegal.
Did you see, Jim, someone pointed out last night, I think it was on MSNBC, that he was a little slippery on the, did the president know? And he was sort of like, I have to
look over there.
Assume that he did.
That is,
who know?
It is.
George who?
It is complete dereliction of duty
yeah.
on the part of George Bush if he didn't know what the F was going on.
Well, Cheney was really the president.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is that
well,
what that slip was about?
Well, we didn't elect Cheney to be the president.
Maybe that's what that slip was about, was admitting that George Bush
yes.
didn't know anything.
He's the self-appointed president, the most powerful self-appointed.
Then that is so completely dangerous.
Well, yeah.
This is
a guy who called for that Pearl Harbor-like... catalyzing
a group he belonged to
catastrophic event, and Cheney was at the top of the list, and then he appointed himself president, and a year later, oh, they got one. Hey, how about that? And everything they've done in the administration was based on that, on the fear generated by 9/11.
You know, here's the thing I don't get is that people are saying, I mean, if there were to be, let's say, you know, any kind of prosecution criminally, you can use all these tapes.
Yes,
I mean,
you
he
can.
He is admitting.
Jonathan Turley, I think,
was
mentioning that last night on mm-hmm. Keith Olbermann's show.
Yes.
That it's not covered by Miranda.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. By the way, so Harry Reid, there was an interview, a radio interview, I guess, not too long ago, where he seemed to leave open the possibility of prosecuting Cheney, but he suggested such a decision would have to be made after a thorough investigation by the Justice Department. He said he believed waterboarding was, in fact, torture, and torture was, in fact, illegal.
Oh, that.
Then he went on to say there are a lot of decisions that that are made that are right that may not be absolutely totally within the framework of the law. For example, with President Nixon, I mean, should he have been impeached or did President Ford do the right thing? Among those, Jonathan Turley, I believe Reid was saying that waterboarding may have been illegal, but it may have been the right thing to do in the aftermath of September 11th.
Huh?
Yeah,
it's ineffective, it's immoral, it's illegal.
It's torture.
It's been, designated.
We prosecuted people who did it to our people.
Yes.
But it was, you know, we had to do it. Because stuff happens. And, you know, these planes, buildings, huh?
Yes. Can I have my fine American music, please? You know I loves me some Andrew Sullivan. I do. When he was extra crispy bucket of conservative.
10 years
not
ago,
so
you didn't like
not
him
so much.
Much.
Now I do. His headline is Full Cheney Panic, which that would be if that's true. He said, I don't know how else to interpret his obviously self-destructive grandstanding this weekend. Here's a former vice president who enjoyed unprecedented power for 8 long years. He catalogs everything he did and ordered. And even after all that, he cannot tolerate a few months of someone else duly elected having a chance to govern the country without a decent interval of grace. What character does this reveal? The same character that sees torture as a no-brainer. The same man who believes that freezing naked prisoners to hypothermia or strapping them to a board for 175th near drowning or stringing them out in stress positions so long that the shackles rust is in line with America's constitutional history and custom. The same tyrannical temperament that cannot abide another reality existing which isn't hammered or tortured into the shape that he wants and demands. Worse, he launches verbal assault after assault on the men and women who succeeded him. He accuses them of risking the lives of Americans, of making America less safe, and openly brags that his violation of the Geneva Conventions worked. Not content with writing his memoirs and letting history judge, he flails around like some prize fish flapping on the deck of the boat, opening and shutting his mouth as his career expires. And as history slowly accepts that this man disgraced his office more profoundly than any before him, as it sinks in that this man did not merely make mistakes as all flawed politicians do, but committed war crimes with premeditation and elaborate subterfuge, he slowly realizes what is happening to him. He can feel it, and so he resists the way he always resists, by lashing out, attacking, smearing, sneering, and grabbing every inch of the limelight he can. Cheney does not seem to understand that he is incriminating himself further with every interview, every time he adjusts his story, every time he moves from torture as a no-brainer to a last resort, every time he assaults yet another person who knows too much about him and what he did. But does Cheney really believe that in the battle for the judgment of the American people and for history, he will win a brawl with Colin Powell, with a man who's actually on record early on warning of the dire consequences of weakening or abandoning the Geneva Convention? Cheney wants a war with him now, judged in the theater of public opinion outside the Hannity Limbaugh Coulter ghetto? They really do want to commit suicide, don't they? Well, I'm not in a rush to stop them. Andrew Sullivan in The Atlantic.
Yay!
Cheney. Outburst. Vince in Napa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Lynn Cheney. Hey, Vince.
Yeah, I saw Lynn Cheney on MSNBC this morning defending her father speaking out. Specifically asking her, you know, isn't this unprecedented? And she goes, well, look, Al Gore hasn't been exactly silent. What? He was silent for too long. It was a couple of years before he ever said anything, and he's never addressed directly the sitting president's decision.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 57 minutes after the hour. Stand-up news is next, my goodness. Florida Governor Charlie Crist running for the Senate. For some reason, Pat Robertson has a comment.
Pat Robertson makes an appearance?
Yes.
Hooray!
57 minutes after the hour, back with that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Former Olympic skater, cancer survivor, Scott Hamilton on the Celebrity Hotline this hour. Next hour, Pat Campbell from the Iraq and Afghanistan Vets for America to talk about the unfortunate shooting incident at Camp Liberty in Iraq yesterday.
And that's Paul Rykoff's group.
Yeah.
Yes, and he does some great
He's
work.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. We may be inching closer to health care, the president yesterday.
What's brought us all together today is a recognition that we can't continue down the same dangerous road we've been traveling for so many years. That costs are out of control, and that reform is not a luxury that can be postponed, but a necessity that cannot wait.
All right, and the general in charge of Afghanistan has been fired.
With the approval of the president, I have asked for the resignation of General David McKiernan.
Yeah, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff going on there that I don't think we're privy to yet.
Yes, well, they say they need a fresh set of eyes or
whatever
it is they say when you get fired. We're going a different direction. We need a fresh look, a fresh something.
Yeah, I'd like to know the inside story to that.
You're probably not going to get it.
I know.
You're not. And I know it's time to play another edition of What Else Does Dick Cheney Think?
Oh, God, do we have to?
If I had to choose in terms of being a Republican, I'd go with Rush Limbaugh, I think. My take on it was Colin had already left the party. I didn't know he was still a Republican.
You're
a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
This is from the guy who got 5 deferments out of Vietnam, where Colin Powell served with distinction.
Yes.
And he's just
That's all you need to
down.
Know about the state of the Republican Party. He chooses the draft-dodging, anal cyst infested drug addled gas bag. And I say you go with that. Good idea. Hey, guess what?
What?
We here out in Los Angeles, we have been named America's most overpriced city.
Okay.
We love it.
Even more than New York?
Yes.
Really?
The unemployment in Southern California definitely being driven by the housing bust, says one expert. Prices are collapsing, but if you're looking at buying a house, it's still expensive. Angelinos face one of the least affordable housing markets in the country. We're
Thank
number
you.
One. We're number
it.
One. Number two most overpriced city, Chicago. Number three, Miami. Number four, New York. It's cheaper to move to New York. Let's go. Number five, Providence, Rhode Island. There you go.
Well, overpriced means quality of life versus price, you know, what you're getting for your money. So there's a bit of an opinion, I think, connected to this.
Exactly. Well, it's from Forbes magazine, so it's their opinion.
See.
All right. Meanwhile, my life in L.A. consists of arguing with my neighbors. However, I usually am fully clothed when I'm doing it.
Oh?
A 52-year-old woman in Clearwater, Florida, was naked when she recently knocked on another person's door and asked for a cigarette.
Cool.
You know, when you start to read the story, you always know that there's a mobile home involved.
Oh.
And sure enough, deputies say they arrested Monica Wood in a nearby mobile home park. Oh. And the woman was only wearing boxer shorts. I'm sure she had dressed up since she was begging for the city bus.
The cooter was covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check this out. I have, as you know, barky dogs on both sides of me. But boy band, screamy dog.
Yes.
It sounds just like that. No kidding.
Your own barking dog.
No, Mike. Oliver's not barking. A little bit. He yaps a little time.
Oliver!
When Mama leaves him, Oliver yaps a little bit.
Yeah, when you're gone.
Yeah.
He doesn't bark.
He doesn't bark.
Boy band's going to come over shirtless and bang on your door and say, can you shut your dog up?
Revenge is so sweet. But anyway, I have another barky dog next door. And so I go to talk to him. And here's the thing. You know what time we get up? We get up at...
That stupid o'clock.
And we go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
Yeah. And so I go over. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And that's like several hours past...
Stupid o'clock.
Yes.
Wow.
And he's like, it's only 10 o'clock. Like, it's okay if your dog barks incessantly if it's at
it's
a certain
only
10 time.
O'clock. Get a life. What the hell?
Yes.
Only 10 o'clock. I haven't seen 10 o'clock on a weeknight in years.
Dear God. I went to a matinee. You know, I went to that the Back to Baccarat show.
10 o'clock?
I had to go to a matinee, 3 o'clock. I had dinner at like 5. And then I was...
You might as well be living in Miami.
Well, apparently it would be two cities down on the America's most overpriced cities for me.
I should have gone to ask for a cigarette in your boxer shorts.
Yes, and nothing else.
The early bird special is probably cheaper in Miami. Here's the new study that says seniors, that's me, need about the same amount of sleep as younger adults, 7 to 9 hours a night. Oh, yeah, good luck for me with that. Unfortunately, many older adults don't get the sleep they need because they often have more trouble falling asleep, particularly if they have a new puppy named Nalu.
That just reminded me.
Hmm.
In a couple of years, you're going to be getting your AARP card.
That's true. Oh, my God.
Also, older people often sleep less deeply and wake up more often throughout the night, which may be why they need to nap more often during the daytime, which I'd do that.
My AARP card may be coming a week from today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yay. What a week it is.
When you turn 50, doesn't it, they start sending the
yeah.
stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, I think you automatically become a member when you turn 50.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only a couple of years away from that stuff.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I'm exactly 7 days away from that.
Wow.
Are you really?
Yes. Oh, it's almost big birthday time for Jim Ward.
Wow.
All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, oh no, Kim Jong-il not among most influential 100 leaders.
Oh no.
Say it ain't so.
He's no longer on the list of Time Magazine's selection of the world's most influential 100 leaders, despite his effort to draw the world's attention with the recent rocket launch threat and other nuclear test. North Korea's state media made a big propaganda in 2005 when Kim was included in that year's list, running an article titled, "The American Time Magazine Praises Kim Jong-il as World Celebrity." That wasn't exactly what we meant, but okay.
Yeah.
There were initial expectations that Kim would make it to this year's list given North Korea's act of expelling international experts from its nuclear site, threatening to restart its nuclear facilities, and announcing to carry out another nuclear test, all of them drawing keen national international attention. Perhaps North Korea itself was also expecting it, according to one spokesperson. Hmm. We have dear leader's thoughts on
it. He told you to the IL in the shizzy. Yeah, you heard me right. I said the shizzy. The shiznit, the poop, a deep doo doo. I'm so depressed. Even the sight of a Lindsay Lohan in a size 2 not perking me up. It's not fair. I tried to be the evil dictator you want me to be. I make kimchi bomb. I shoot off my taipo dong in public. I let my people starve. I cook up some nuclear joy juice. I do everything bad you want me to do. And for what? I don't even make the top of 100? But what about my needs? You watch. Because you're going to be sorry you ever missed to read me like this. How are you going to feel when I become a benevolent despot and feed my people and dismantle my nuclear facility and get a good haircut? You're going to have to lay off half your diplomatic corps when I become the Korean Santa Claus. Who are going to frighten your kids when dear reader become the Easter Bunny? What John Bolton going to do with all his spare time? I gave you the best commie scare years of my life. And who are you getting scared by now? Hugo Chavez? Oh, the betrayal. I get along without you very well. Of course I do. Except perhaps in spring. But I should never think of spring. For that would surely break my heart in two.
Came out.
He lost the will to live. Yeah. He couldn't even say it. And finally, Florida Governor Charlie Crist.
The exceedingly neat and tan former bachelor governor of Florida.
He will be announcing, he loves his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He will be announcing Tuesday that he'll be running for the Senate, according to a source close to the governor. Crist's decision puts Republicans in a strong position to hold on to the seat held by retiring Senator Mel Martinez of Florida. For some reason, Evil Uncle Chuckles, Pat Robertson, had some thoughts on this.
Hallelujah. Rejoice, my children, rejoice, for he is risen. He has rolled away the electoral stone and will cleanse the foul stench from the pit of iniquity known as the United States Senate. Christ the Lord will represent the great state of Florida. It has been foretold.
Oh.
He holds high approval ratings of both Republicans and Democrats, which surprised the hell out of me, but let's go with it. Christ will be making a formal announcement in Tallahassee today.
Oh, no.
They tell me he is the front runner in the race to succeed Mel Martinez. Well, of course he is. He will smite his opponents with his righteous wrath for their support of degenerate perversions masquerading as the marriage of Adam and Steve and the murder of innocent baby zygotes so that they can be harvested in the satanic search for replacement organs for the island of Dr. Moroloch stem cell homunculi being generated by the Pelosi ACLU gay baby factory whose pitchfork-wielding... What now? my age are telling me that many Florida conservative voters are supporting someone named Rubio, the guy who makes the fish tacos. Well, they disagree with Christ's moderate positions and his vigorous advocacy of Obama's stimulus package. Now, you must be mistaken. Our Lord would never... What's that now? Charlie Crist is a front runner? That old sodomite... Oh, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm going to be sick. I'm going to call on you, Lord, to plague, to visit plagues of toads and hurricanes and alligators walking on their hind legs in the wicked state of Florida. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh, God.
He got some bad information there.
Yes.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week to tell you, friends. But with the alligators on their hind children, be eating baby children by any chance?
On their hind legs.
Yeah.
Hind children? What?
Huh? If you want more Jim Ward bald roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a child ad, they tell me, on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Check it out. But are those alligators standing up on their hind legs chewing up baby children wearing bowler hats? Just like Wally Gator.
Jeff in D.C. and Dick Cheney. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jim, your price is mad.
That's a twisted mind.
I'm telling you, man. I'm just waiting with bated breath for my man Cheney to have one of that scene in Few Good Men where he says, yeah, order the code red, not
yes.
Do it again.
Jeff, I was just thinking that yesterday. That he's Jessup. He's Colonel Jessup.
I just want him to do it, man. I want him to have it. I did it. I'll do it again. I wish you all would just thank me and go your merry way.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Exactly. That's exactly how I was thinking that yesterday. I'm like, he's admitting it.
Because deep down in places, yeah. You don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Parties. You want me on that wall.
Yes.
Mm. You need me on that wall.
Oh, that's the moment we're at. You're damn right. I ordered the code red. What? What'd they say?
Exactly.
God, that was a long movie.
It was great. Tracy in Los Angeles on Cheney. Hi, Trace.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm sick and tired of him. All he's doing is putting both thumbs in his ear and wiggling his fingers and sticking his tongue out at us and daring the administration to prosecute him. They need to go after these
guys. I know.
I don't, quite frankly, I don't understand what the delay is.
Yep, you're absolutely right. These interviews absolutely have been, you're damn right, I ordered the code red. And it was the right thing to do. All right, Pete, my right-wing love muffin in Indiana, is for the torture. Hello, Pete.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm for the torture, but I'm for the getting the information very well. But if you read the Geneva Convention, mm-hmm. obviously none of your callers have. I don't think they've read the Constitution either.
Really?
It limits the government. Limits
That's kind of insulting,
power.
Pete.
No, it's not insulting. I believe it's the truth. So if you read the Geneva Convention, it says that when you're fighting a group of people who wear a uniform, the people who flew into the trade centers, took our planes over, flew into the World Trade Centers, didn't have a uniform. They had a man sitting in a white robe with
a So they're a lot
beard.
Worse than the Nazis, because the Nazis had spiffy uniforms.
They wore uniforms, and they were fought in battle.
So the Geneva Conventions don't apply to... To insurgents.
It's a different form of battle, Pete. It's still battle.
No, it's not. We fought Iraq and won. We beat their army.
So we can disregard any moral values at all.
Read the Geneva Convention.
If they're not in a uniform.
It specifically outlines that they have to be in uniform. If they're not in uniform, they're just a bunch of street thugs.
So, Pete, what do you make of all of the experts that have said torture doesn't work, including John McCain, you know, saying that you get incorrect information because people will do anything to make it stop?
Well, John McCain is just as much a liberal as you are.
Really?
No, that hurt. Ouch. 20 minutes after the hour.
No, he's more libertarian than conservative.
Wow. John McCain. Throw John McCain under the bus. All right. Wow-wee. 20 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on Cheney's thoughts and what's going to happen to Mr. Potter as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Reclaiming moral values. Reclaiming the military. Reclaiming the... It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't know how to act.
Get your sexy up.
Go heavy, darling.
Get your sexy up.
sexy up.
Go ahead, be done with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be done with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be done with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be done with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be done with it.
Get your sexy up.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joanna in Chicago on our previous caller saying we're allowed to torture anybody we want because they weren't in uniform. Hello, Joanna.
Hello, everyone. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Just a quick one, the moron who just called.
Yes.
I guess he said we don't know the Constitution. He must not know history because the only ones who wore uniforms in the Revolution basically were the British and maybe the French that helped us. But we weren't in uniform.
Yeah.
And that was the revolution. And
by the way, that was quite the battle plan. Let's wear bright red coats and all stand in a line.
Brilliant. And some white wigs, too. Really, really good.
They're not very sporting. They're not standing in a field wearing red coats. We'll never shoot them at will.
They'll never see us here.
Hiding in the tree line? Good heavens. Simply not all.
Joe in St. Paul on our previous caller as well. Hi, Joe.
Hi, yeah, I wanted to just that guy is just dumb as a post. Technically he's right in that the Geneva Conventions do not apply to the people we're torturing. However, federal law, international law, and the Conventions on Torture, to which we are a signatory, does. And it neatly delineates waterboarding as a particular means of torture and explicitly illegal.
Right.
But we got to quit talking about if it's effective. It doesn't matter if it's effective.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not somebody to go on record and say it has never worked in any instance, you know, but I'm just saying, according to a lot of people that have been through it and have done it, you tend to get inaccurate information when you torture.
And the stupid thing was, we already been getting good information by more legitimate means from these people. And then once we started torturing them, they shut up. Gave us useless information.
Yes, Chris LeBoy. Historical cub reporter.
Well, yeah, that right-wing tool accused us of not reading the Constitution. Well, apparently neither had he, because David in Maine on the live blog points out that the Constitution also says Congress can only declare war.
Yes.
So
that was never done.
Yeah, so this war is technically illegal.
Right?
Yeah.
You're being technical and all. John in Panama City, Florida. Hello.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I'm calling about the last caller as well. I'm retired military, so I know a little something about the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And we changed these guys' status the minute we started prosecuting them under that code, running them through military detention camps, and prosecuting them in the military court system.
That's true.
So Geneva Convention does apply to those individuals.
All right, thank you, honey. 28 minutes after the hour, Olympic figure skater and cancer survivor Scott Hamilton on the Celebrity Hotline next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a drag, a well-known drag. We turn the sound down on her and say rude things.
Don't you do it. It is the Stephanie Miller
That's
Show.
That's the word on the radio that gets things wrong.
I hear you out there. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
It's grotesque. Wouldn't we call it dead?
I am grotesque, but you know, every now and again, Jim, we class the joint up by having some people on that have, you know, won some sorts of honors or things like that that could make me seem better in comparison.
Do you know anybody like that?
Who is it, Chris?
It's Olympic skater Scott Hamilton.
Whoa.
How cool.
Wow.
More caffeine.
Good morning, Scott Hamilton. What an honor and a pleasure to speak to you.
I wish somebody I knew would say that.
Oh, come on.
Kidding.
I loved you more than Nadia. Come on, you know.
Oh, wow. 10.
We all are Olympic heroes. I ran into Bruce Jenner the other day, and I almost collapsed into a little puddle.
Bruce is
is a great guy.
Yes, he is indeed.
Yeah.
I have to say, of all the people that have, you know, achieved fame the way you have, I mean, you have used it for such a good cause in talking about your own cancer and the stuff that you've done. It's the 10th anniversary of Target House.
Oh, it's great. And for people out there that don't know what Target House is, it's a home away from home for families whose children are going through long-term treatment at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. And St. Jude has been an extraordinary facility that has taken cure rates for children with leukemia from like 5% to over 90%, and for all cancers from like 20% to over 70%. So they are creating miracle after miracle, and Target House was built by Target Stores, Target Corporation, as a place where it didn't exist before them. A lot of families would have to stay in hotels and motels. In fact, before Target House, St. Jude was spending like 11,000 room nights a year in hotels and motels to house their families who are going through treatments, and Target House has been a miracle on top of all the miracles that are going on at St. Jude, and we're celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Wow.
I'm so excited. Yeah, it's
amazing. Wow. Well, you know, you're, you know, one of those inspirational people that you had testicular cancer, but you've survived, obviously, and I think that that's the, you know, the main thing that helps people, you know, mentally out there, right, to go, it's not always a death sentence.
No, and it's beyond surviving, it's thriving. You know, when I think of the issues that come with that diagnosis, you know, I got married after that, and we wanted to have a family, and I thought we were going to have all kinds of issues. And, you know, through the unbelievable, meticulous, methodical treatment of my cancer, the chemotherapy and how they managed it and maintained it and the surgery and how well it was done, my son was born 9 months and 2 days after we got married.
Wow. Woo-hoo! Party over here, party over there.
Yeah, really, big party. But I mean, it, you know, it's like these miracles can happen. It's just we have to participate in them and really get involved. And it's easy to be, you know, complacent. It really is. And I don't, you know, if people want to just do their thing, I don't judge. You know, I just,
yep.
But I try to inspire, just say, look, you know, a lot of these hospitals, a lot of these charities, a lot of what's going on out there is something we can easily participate in. In 1962, when Danny Thomas founded St. Mm-hmm. Jude, pretty much all of it was done on donations of $20 and less.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then still their life's blood is, you know, donations from wherever they come in, if it's, you know, 50 cents or if it's $20 or $100 or, you know, $1 million, whatever. You know, I mean, it just, it costs money to create these miracles, and,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it every day, and no child will ever be turned away for lack of, you know, the ability to pay. And, you know, same with Target House. You know, they don't charge anything for you to stay at Target House. They just made this thing happen, and it's doing great work.
Well, you know, and it seems like that's such an important thing, you know, to have these, you know, the privacy of these family apartments and common areas, you know, that, you know, they can be with other Target House families, because mm-hmm. this really is, it's like a bond for people that have been through this and survived this, isn't it?
Well, so many cancer patients I've talked to, you know, feel isolated. They feel alone. Nobody understands what they're going through, and they look for support, and they get it most of the time through other cancer patients and survivors. So when I look at Target House, I think of 96 apartments. Units, every single one of them is occupied by somebody going through this. I mean, the community that you have built, you know, it's like this island of support, this amazing facility that is just, you know, when you feel alone, all you have to do is step outside your door, and mm-hmm. there's someone right there that is with you, going through it with you, and can support you like no one else can. And
mm-hmm.
it's truly a great gift on top of the quality of life that's being given to these families, where they can cook in their own kitchens, and they can have, the children can have their own bedroom, and they can have the privacy and the dignity mm-hmm. to deal with these devastating circumstances.
Well, you know, and Scott, I have to say, I think it's so great that you take something that can be so private and painful and turn it into a public thing that can help other people. You know, I don't know anybody that hasn't been touched by this. I haven't actually talked about this on the air, but I've recently found out a family member has cancer, and that's the first time it's touched my family. And I have to tell you, I found out I was 3 years late for a mammogram. I just went the other day. You know, it's stuff like that that you get busy, you forget. You know, I'm supposed to have one once a year, and I hadn't had one in 3 years. So, you know, it's this stuff is really important and life-saving to talk about.
It really is, and I get busy. You know, I preach, and now I have to practice what I preach. And you know, going through my testicular cancer survivorship, I was saying people get in touch with what's going on with your body, know what's happening, be, you know, vigilant, and, you know, go in for yearly checkups, and you know what's going on with your body. And, you know, thank goodness I I walked the talk, because in 2004 I knew I wasn't feeling right. I just stopped skating because I wasn't feeling good, and you know, I found that I had a pituitary brain tumor. So, you know, it's like, what, you know, you've just got to be vigilant. You know,
right.
I got to it soon, and it saved my vision because the tumor was clinging onto the optic nerve where it goes into the brain, and had I not found it when I did, I might have, you know, gone blind or at least had my vision thoroughly impaired for life. And
yeah, I mean, prevent
100%.
Absolutely.
You know, so,
I mean, prevention is really so important.
Really is.
Do you still skate?
I took 5 years off, and I just started training again. So I decided that, you know, I never really knew after when I retired and I found a brain tumor, whether it was the brain tumor that was making me want to retire or whether I just didn't have the skills to pull it off. So
right.
I decided that I feel best when I'm on the ice. I feel best when I'm in shape from what I get from the ice. And I got a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I want to live for them and be healthy. So I'm back on the ice.
Can you still do a triple axel and a, what's the thing called, a Lutz? Can you still do those?
I'm, you know, it's like at 50, it's slow and steady wins the race. So
yes.
After 5 years off, you know, if I break a hip, it's probably not going to heal like it did before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have your own ice rink? Do you own a Zamboni? There are many questions I have for you.
I go up and I try to get out of the kids' way, and it's really tough with a walker because the tennis balls don't really slide across the ice.
I don't know why. I've always wondered if anybody, does any skater you know actually own a Zamboni? I just think that would be so cool.
Well, it would be cool, but, you know, I just assume somebody else take care of that maintenance.
Yeah.
I don't pay for that stuff. You know, here's your $2 for the session. Let me get out there and push it around and try not to get anybody's way.
So, Scott, what can we do to find out more information about Target House or to help?
Well, as part of the celebration, Target has set up a wish list at Target.com for children that are, you know, at St. Jude and at Target House, where you can buy them a birthday present. Or if you want to learn more about St. Jude, it's stjude.org. So Target.com or stjude.org, and there's links that gives you more information about Target House at stjude.org, but also how you can make a donation, how you can be involved, and how you can participate in letting the next miracle happen.
Are you, I'm just curious, now I want to get to the chatty, gossipy part. Are you friends with other ice skaters? Like, do you and Brian Boitano go out and do shots, or...
you know, skating is a very small community. We all know each other really well. Like, Christy Yamaguchi is like, you know, family to me, and we support each other's charities. And yeah, Brian, I've known Brian since he was like 12 years old. And, you know, I look back at Peggy Fleming and my relationship with her, and Janet Lynn, it still goes on.
Wow.
We hell all the time and talk.
Skating, now you're talking my vintage, Peggy Fleming.
Oh, wonderful. Peggy Fleming, Janet Lynn, Dorothy Hamill, I've run into her a lot lately. And it's just, you know, it's a, and Michelle Kwan, you know, we were on separate tours for years, but now we work together at NBC, and I've gotten to spend a lot of time with her through Special Olympics. So it's really a great community. It's a.
Have you ever gotten in a bar fight with Tonya Harding?
No, just not, yet.
Not yet.
All right, Scott Hamilton, thank you for doing the Lord's work, and thanks for taking time for us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes.
Yay! He's hysterical.
Not yet. He anticipates that might happen.
Name dropper.
Which
Michelle
I love.
Kwan, Chris
and he and I used to be co-workers, Scott
oh,
Hamilton.
Right. Yeah.
I asked for it. I asked him to name drop.
Yeah.
You know, no word about Nancy Kerrigan. Wonder if it's a scandal there.
Why
me? Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. Look at him. He survived cancer. She's screaming about a knee, for God's sakes. Why me? Whatever.
Yeah, he's more courageous than she ever will be.
My neck. Max dragged me down on the hiking trail. My knee looks worse than hers right now, for God's sakes. All right.
You didn't say, why?
I didn't say, why me?
Did you curse at the dog?
No, I just said, Max, Max!
Max, 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 Max!
All right. 42 minutes. I'm going to need an extra box of wine tonight. That's all I said. 42 minutes.
Mama's medicine.
After the hour. Republican rebranding. We'll tell you how that's going as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
I'm pushing.
47 minutes
after
the hour.
Nothing's coming out.
What?
What? 1-800-STEP-1-2-THE-PHONE-NUMBER. Toll free from anywhere. Adam in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. On our caller that says, we're not torturing people because they don't have uniforms. Hi, Adam.
Hello.
Hello.
First of all, I got to say to Lavort, what a friend we have in cheeses.
Yes, yes, we do.
I've been wanting to say that for a long time.
By the way, if you happen to mail a Lavort cheese from faraway states, you might want to make sure that it's the ice that's
No matter whatever kind of ice you use to make sure it's cold, it will not stay cold. So
dry ice.
Dry ice will melt faster.
We have a smelly old cheese studio, Adam. That's what we're saying. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Poor misguided Pete, and I'm just going to read one line here. The U.S. Supreme Court's June 29, 2006 decision in Hemden versus Rumsfeld, remember him?
Yes.
Applied common Article 3, which we all know in the Geneva Conventions, to a global conflict with a non-state actor, Al-Qaeda, taking place within the territory of a country that is a party to the Geneva Conventions.
Mm-hmm. Cheese and crackers.
He's completely wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
The Supreme Court, even, you know, all these armchair attorneys and all that, and military guys, the Supreme Court ruled that it applies to a non-state actor. Thank you very much.
Yes, we remember the Rumsfeld case.
Yes.
Goodness gracious, Jim.
Me oh my.
Goodness gracious.
I was looking for some Rumsfeld.
My stars, Land of Goshen, my stars and garters, Jiminy Christmas.
Sammy in Chicago. He was over there enjoying a Rob Roy. He wasn't paying attention. Hi, Sammy. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on torture as well. Hello, Sam.
Hi. Actually, I cannot believe that I'm hearing, you know, people saying that the torture is okay. The reason that we went to Iraq war after, you know, we couldn't find any WMD, it became that because Saddam was torturing his own people and killing 180 Shiites, and that's why he executed. And I believe that we killed 30-plus people during the tortures, and I don't know if we are going to wait until 180 to do something about it. And also another thing is, if the torture is really working, why don't we actually apply in our own country here for, you know, prisons? And so if it's a really nice thing, it works, and we can start applying, you know, I don't know. That would be a much better way to do actually things.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Let's go to Susie in Asheville, North Carolina, on Liz Cheney going on the TV this morning. Hello, Susie.
Yeah, about Liz Cheney on Morning Joe. There was something really telling, kind of stunning, in her answer to the last question Eugene Robinson asked. He asked if what Obama has done has put us in danger now, why Bush and Rice and the rest of the former administration that were in the know aren't speaking up, you know, like Cheney.
Right.
She said she thought they weren't speaking up because they're listening to the advice of their lawyers, which is saying they're more concerned about protecting their own butts than they are about saving millions of lives, which is probably true, but I thought it was kind of stunning she said it.
I was going to say, it makes me sort of happy that they feel the need to lawyer up.
Nobody at the Joe table even commented on it. But
wow. They're lawyers, really, now. All right, Sue.
Ben Benman's booked a flight to Spain lately.
Sue, in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Sue.
Hey, Steph. I have a challenge for you. I'd like you to spend at least as much time promoting the views of those of us who are still trying to end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm a member of Code Pink Women for Peace.
Uh-huh.
And I hear nothing about the anti-war movement, even from you who are a progressive, you know, queen.
I think we've been saying for several years now that we shouldn't have gotten into Iraq and we need to get out.
No, I don't want to hear about we shouldn't have gotten into Iraq. I don't want to hear you-know-who effing Cheney. I don't want to hear Rush Limbaugh.
You just want to hear all anti-war all the time.
No, but at least, like, how about 5 minutes for every 5 minutes you waste on those idiots?
Well, honey, I think we've talked almost every day about some aspect of the war and how we need to get out and how we need to do it. So,
when's the last time you interviewed Medea Benjamin?
I'm interviewing someone from the Paul Rykoff's group coming up in Chris, less than like 20 minutes.
Okay,
we're going to talk about
10 minutes,
and we're going to talk about Iraq and Afghanistan.
Are you Medea Benjamin's booker?
Don't forget the women's stuff.
I will. All right, honey. All right, and perhaps she is.
Well, you know,
forgetting the women.
I don't like these people telling us what we should and should not do with the show. I'm sorry.
All right.
I think we put on a pretty damn good show.
Oh, now don't get all defensive.
Well.
All right.
Damn it.
I suck. You do the best you can. But anyway, let's move on. So, hey, guess who defended Barack Obama from Dick Cheney? Joe Lieberman.
Really?
Who is the president's biatch now? He said, we're not left safe, which is a little bit of a different tune than he was singing when he was campaigning for John McCain. He said, our guard is up. In fact, I'd say when it comes to Afghanistan, obviously this Obama administration has put more resources into the fight against terrorism than had been previously the case. On balance, we remain as safe as we possibly can be in a world in which there is Islamic extremists who want to attack us. Way to go, Joe!
Yeah.
Love that Joe Lieberman.
For now.
Okay.
Until the next time he opens his yap.
White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs told reporters that Dick Cheney was damaging the Republican Party in an attempt to refight the 2008 election. That's what it seems like to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you call it? I was telling you, Fox News all weekend was Acorn, and what the hell else was...
They want a do-over.
Yes!
It's Acorn, Reverend Wright!
Mm-hmm.
Errors...
Yes, he responded to Cheney's comments.
Essentially going forward by looking backward. And if the vice president believes that's a way of growing and expanding the Republican Party, then we're happy to leave him to those devices.
That's what we've been saying.
Yes.
Yeah, if you think that's the way to grow your party, you keep doing it.
I see. He's the same thing we did. He said, I think the answer he gave about the future of the Republican Party picking Rush Limbaugh over Colin Powell was an illuminating answer about what we're going to see going forward. He was asked to respond to Cheney's comments about the torture that saved American lives. Gibbs said, I don't know what he bases that off, so I don't have any genuine reaction. Meaning he pulled it out of his ass like he did most things. That's what I was saying. Yeah, we said the thing that Cheney said, right? About, we weren't getting any information from Sheikh Mohammed, so then we waterboarded him.
It was just the opposite.
Yeah, you were getting good information from him until you started waterboarding.
It just is amazing with Dick Cheney. It's,
Well, the facts of a liberal bias.
With his, what's the expression, credibility gap, that he thinks that just because he says it, we'll go,
okay.
Well, that must be true, then.
All right, then.
Yeah.
You said it on TV. It must be true.
Mm-hmm. Richard in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Torture. Hello, Richard.
Hey. You know that thing where they run on television certain programs that says, get the children away from the radio?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you the truth. I hear people constantly say we shouldn't have waterboarded, and this guy was waterboarded 180 times, whatever it was. I was in Vietnam. They had two Viet Cong, and they tied their hands and feet and put them in a helicopter. And I didn't see this. I was told this. No. And on the way back to the base camp, the guy said to the interpreter, "Tash."
Boy.
We need an interpreter for that cell phone.
Fortunately, the children will not be able to hear that distressing Vietnam War story. Okay, let's go to, I think I don't really want to know what happened there.
No,
okay, Dennis
either.
In New Hampshire on torture as well. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Stephanie, again.
Hello.
We never did conclude and get an answer from you.
Uh-oh.
Are you in favor of the torture photos being released? Yes or no will do.
Thank you.
Said yes, didn't you?
Yes, I believe I said yes.
Yes, we did answer your question.
Okay, now, that's fine. The problem I have with doing that, and we're on opposite sides, we're never going to agree what torture is and what isn't.
You think that's the morally incorrect thing, is releasing the photos, not the fact that we did it against every international convention that we signed.
No. Forget. That's another debate. That's yesterday's news.
That's a part of this debate, Dennis.
Wait a minute. If the photos are released, are you fully prepared?
Why are you focusing on the photos? What? That's the most important part of this story. The most important part of the story is this administration committed war crimes for which they could be prosecuted.
War crimes are nothing compared to what's going to happen with the revolt in the Islamic world if those photos are released.
Really? Because you don't think that they're aware that we tortured? Really? They haven't heard. They haven't heard that anywhere.
The photos drive it home. It makes it worse.
Oh, I see. So
now,
it's not us admitting that we did it and saying it was wrong and we're going to move on.
I have divided feelings about this whole issue with this torture thing. But I will tell you this: when that fellow with the accent called in a couple, three, four callers ago. Do not let anybody ever equate what we do to what Saddam Hussein did to those people, how he tortured them, because...
He had a voice, that guy.
Yeah.
57 minutes after the hour, the head of Veterans for America, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The general in charge of Afghanistan was fired yesterday. Robert Gates, defense secretary.
This is the right time to make the change at a time when we are at the beginning of the implementation of a new strategy.
And Admiral Mike Mullen, the Joint Chiefs Chairman, on the unfortunate shooting at Camp Liberty yesterday.
It also speaks to the issue of multiple deployments, you know, increasing dwell time, all those things that we're focused on to try to improve to relieve that stress.
And by the way, the other big story, the American journalist released by Iran, yeah. Secretary of State Clinton on that.
We continue to take issue with the charges against her and the verdicts rendered, but we are very heartened that she has been released.
Huh. Too bad George Bush wasn't still president. We could have gone with our plan of just making Iran into a parking lot.
That's right. Shock and awe. That'll fix it.
If only there was some sort of expert on military matters that could chime in on all of these important... Yeah, who is it, Chris?
Chief Legislative Counsel for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, Patrick Campbell.
Fresh from CNN, I understand.
Yeah.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for coming slumming with us.
Oh, no. I'm from California. I feel like I'm coming back home.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much. I mean, a lot of big stories in the news. The shooting at Camp Liberty, just very sad. Can you tell us, first of all, what happened for people that don't know the details?
The details are still coming in, but as we understand it, a soldier who was seeking a patient at a combat stress clinic at Camp Liberty, where I was stationed when I was in Iraq, he had his weapon removed. He later was told to leave, and he was able to secure another weapon, came in and killed five soldiers and injured at least one other. There's no details about, they said the name, escapes me right at this particular moment, but the point is that there was someone who was a patient seeking treatment for some type of combat stress injury, walked in and killed some of the people who worked there and some of the people seeking treatment.
Wow, and I know the original reports yesterday said that he had killed himself, but I guess that's not the case. He's in custody?
Yes, he is in custody right now.
What? Patrick, you know, I have one of my best friends is a psychologist, and, you know, we got talking about this not too long ago, that, you know, this is just one of the ripple effects of this, in my opinion, horrible, unnecessary war, is the stress that these troops have been under and are under.
Well, I mean, this is something that, you know, no one goes to war and comes home unchanged. I heard a great quote saying, you know, no one crosses a river and doesn't get wet. The good thing is most of the stuff that you get while you're overseas is things that are positive, that make you stronger, make you more, you know, open-minded, but... You know, there's something called psychological Kevlar that you need to put on while you're over there that kind of shuts off your emotions. And, you know, when you come home, it can be very detrimental to the people around you. While you're over there, sometimes the weight of the Kevlar is too much, and, you know, people just break. And, you know, we know this is going to happen. You know, we've been at this war for almost 8 years now, and we should understand that this stuff is going to continue to happen, and we should at this point have the services in place, but we don't.
Well, and it also seems, Patrick, that, you know, as we all know, we've heard about how overstretched the military is and that, you know, these deployments keep getting, what's the word? I'm sorry, it's losing the...
Extended.
However the technical term is, but, you know, it seems like the other thing is we're asking so much of these troops. I think we sent them in, you know, with a mission that wasn't clear, that, you know, not properly, in some cases, not with proper body armor and things like that. I can only imagine the stress is even worse than a normal war.
Right. I mean, and couple that with the fact that 600,000 troops have served multiple tours. I mean, some of the people that I met, I was down in San Diego 2 weekends ago meeting some Navy SEALs, and, you know, they were talking about their fourth, fifth, sixth deployments. And,
right.
You know, these have a tremendous, you know, strain on both the service member and their family. And, you know, I was talking, you know, I've been talking to some of my fellow veterans about this, that the war itself is actually keeping people together, because a lot of veterans who are still serving think they need to hold it together while we're still at war. And I have a feeling that as we draw down, as the surge we sent into Iraq and Afghanistan surges home, we're going to see more and more cases of people needing help. And there's only one way we can get ahead of this, and that's by requiring every returning service member to get counseling. I mean, if you're a cop in L.A. and you even see a gun, you have to go get counseling.
Well, you know, Patrick, that seems so important. With, you know, you look at Walter Reed, and I mean, just some of the, you know, we have people that have been horribly physically maimed that weren't even being properly cared for. That, you know, again, this is just one of the things that, you know, what do you call it, an invisible wound of war, right? But it's just as important.
Right. It's just, I mean, and it's not something, you know, if treated correctly, these people are going to, you know, live full productive lives. I mean, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, I've been getting treatment for it, and, you know, I have a good job, I have a good family, you know, I've been able to deal with it and become stronger because of it. But, you know, continuing to go on life with, you know, a hidden injury like post-traumatic stress disorder is a lot like trying to run on a sprained, you know, a sprained leg. You know, the more you run on, the more hurt you get, and at some point, you know, things are just going to start breaking on other ends.
Pat, you served in Iraq, not Afghanistan, correct?
Correct.
But obviously your group involves both veterans. What do you think of what's happening? We were sort of curious what the backstory is, do you think, between the Pentagon replacing the top Afghanistan general?
Well, I'm reading the news just like you guys. I mean, basically what we're hearing is that he wasn't bold enough. That's the term, you know, that they were using. There is a big divide in the military about versus conventional versus fighting what's called fourth-generation warfare, and that's an insurgency warfare. And it's completely different tactics, completely different strategy. And, you know, they say winning the hearts and minds. It's an oversimplification, but creating an environment where we're actually engaging both the military, social, and political forces all at once. Because the fight in Afghanistan is not going to be won or lost in Afghanistan. It'll be won or lost in Kabul and Washington.
Right. Well, you know, and I, you know, you have to help me because I'm not obviously a military expert, and I have a little trouble understanding. General Petraeus just said that, you know, Al-Qaeda has taken very significant losses in the last 6 to 10 months. And he says, you know, they're no longer operating in Afghanistan largely. They're in Pakistan, which is obviously now the big story. So I guess as a layperson, my question is, now what? So now how do we handle this whole double-pronged problem in Afghanistan and Pakistan?
I mean, you have to deal with Pakistan politically and, you know, economically, and not create an environment where they're able to transport over the Pakistan border. And then once you've cleared, as mentioned, the big pockets of the Taliban out of Afghanistan, you know, you need to create structures in place where you're building infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we're in Iraq, I mean, people aren't asking us difficult questions. You know, whoever's going to turn the water on and make it safe for their kids to go to school, that's who's going to be in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I mean. I mean, to me, is like I say, as a layperson, it seems like whack-a-mole. Like, the Bush administration didn't finish the job in Afghanistan. They let Osama bin Laden go at Tora Bora. You know, now we're dealing with the same problem with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Pakistan.
Well, the good thing is that, I mean, we have at least at this point an idea of what we need to be doing. I mean, that's the one good thing about General Petraeus, is that he walked in there and he realized, you know, we can't win by military might alone. You know, we can hold the ground for limited periods of time with a strong military, but everything else needs to be done by these provincial reconstruction teams, where, you know, people from the State Department and from the best, you know, sectors of the United States are trying to go into these areas and try to rebuild from the ground up. And that's exciting work that we're going to be doing, but we have to be committed to doing it.
Well, Pat, I thank you and Paul Rykoff and all of you at the Veterans for Iraq and Afghanistan for really supporting the troops, you know, for not just, it's not a talking point. You guys are actually, you're being the troops and supporting the troops. We thank you for that.
I appreciate it, and thank you for talking about this important issue.
All right, thank you, sir. There he goes. Patrick Campbell from the Iraq and Afghanistan Vets of America.
Yeah, he was great. Donald Trump is holding his press conference.
Oh, thank God. Now. Let's find out if California is
really
fired.
Huge. In many cases, they were actually lovely pictures, and in some cases, they were modeling. They were
nice wreck.
They were all lovely.
So I think that's very important to understand. The last thing is we have Keith and Shanna from
She's going to keep her crown.
You're the one
pageants,
just,
the directors of the
podium.
Miss California pageant. I met them today for the first time. I spoke to them previously. They do a fantastic job in California with this pageant. It's a very, very successful organization, and I commend you for that.
It's huge.
Huge.
Huge. We're having some miscommunication with Kerry.
Oh.
And I use the term miscommunication somewhat loosely, but they were having miscommunication. The communication problem, I believe, is totally solved. Miss Kerry. This is, I think, really very important to understand. They are really getting along very well. They've been meeting for hours in my office.
Oh,
and I really think that they are and have developed a relationship that they didn't have before.
I brought Joan Rivers into media.
Kerry will remain Miss California.
Oh, boo.
Very important. She, when the paparazzi claps, you know that was a popular decision. I've never heard the paparazzi clap before.
All right.
Yeah, we know
Whatever. It was huge.
That was huge.
Her rack was
huge. Just like a rack. Huge.
But it wasn't God. God did not make her rack.
Originally it was not huge. Now it's huge.
Now it's huge. We paid for it. We paid to make sure it was huge. Damn, I was hoping for...
You're fired.
No.
Computer says
you're not fired.
All right.
You don't want me to get away from this podium right now. I'm just looking at the pictures.
Oh,
and,
dude.
You know, you think this thing is
it's
fucking
like he's
wood.
Announcing a new, like, you know... Peace in the Middle East. Look at him with this huge press conference. It's going to go on for hours.
We had discussions with Ms. Prejean for hours in my office, and we came to an agreement.
She doesn't have as nice a rack as my daughter. However, wow.
He really did say his daughter had a nice rack, didn't
she?
She
has a nice rack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have more important news to get to, and that is Bruce has sent us a beaver stack. This is a historical beaver stack, Jim. It's about beaver fur hats. In the 1700s...
Do beavers need hats?
No, it's a hat made of beaver, Christopher.
Wow.
In the 1700s and early 1800s, European gentlemen wanted fine hats. Beaver was an excellent raw material.
Still is.
Beaver,
unless it's kept groomed.
Beaver is tight yet supple and will hold its shape far better under rough wear and successive wettings than felt...
I don't know.
And felt made
or
from
weddings.
Ask Lindsay Lohan about that.
Then felt made from wool or other types of fur. To prepare the fur for felting, the guard hairs had to be removed. You got to trim that up.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
These hairs.
I hear they do that in Brazil. Felting.
These hairs are unsuitable for a hatter's purpose. The pelt would be placed on the hatter's knee, and with a thumb and large knife or tweezers. God. I guess that was before the electric razor.
Boy.
The guard hairs would be pulled, leaving only the beaver wool on the skin. Once the wool was removed from the pelt, it was called fluff. For the finest hats, the hatter would mix two different types of fluff. One part dry castor from a sun-dried beaver, which still retained its guard hairs. And two parts greasy beaver, with the guard hairs removed.
A beaver should never be allowed to get greasy.
With the guard hairs removed due to the friction of wear by native people. The wool of the greasy beaver was thought to make a more luxuriant hat. This is Bruce reporting on the
You're never gonna get tired of this, are you?
I have a listen. Someone has also sent. There's an update on the Big Beaver Corridor.
Oh, really?
So we'll have to get to that. Yeah.
Oh.
No, not now.
Not now. Okay.
Yes. 20 minutes after the hour. That, the Republican rebranding, and oh dear, the White House throws Wanda Sykes under the bus.
Oh yeah.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Crown.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Let's see what Miss Homophobia, Miss California, has to say about keeping her crown.
What I'm able to do is tell my story.
Also too.
Which no one can take away from me. Not everyone may like me or agree with me,
especially
but I hope
opposite,
at the end of the day,
marriage.
Everyone can respect my rights as I respect theirs. And together,
unless
we can bring
combos.
Back civility
sweetheart,
back to our
we have the
social
right to criticize
and cultural
you.
Discussions. I am convinced now more than ever of the importance of standing up for your beliefs.
Unless you're a homo.
And convictions. For everyone out there listening, do not be silenced.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck,
no, believe me.
Coming for your job.
Apply it to your own life.
Yeah, we're not going to be silenced about
I
you, sweetheart.
I hope I have inspired others to maintain compassion, civility, respect, and tolerance.
For the degenerates.
While staying true to your convictions.
That they're going to go to
hell.
And
to never, ever
let them get
compromise
married.
Your beliefs.
Don't worry.
In the pursuit of his or her own goals.
She is plucky this morning.
Regardless of the consequences.
Everything she's saying goes for our side too, though. So
I am a representative of my generation. Young adults and teenagers are greatly impacted by both media and culture.
And homos.
And I want to encourage them to maintain their integrity
and
not concede their values because of what they see or hear going on around them.
Especially homo stuff.
Unless they show your boobs.
It is this message that I will incorporate to my Miss California USA duties.
While taking your top off?
As the pageant has embraced my message of recognizing and respecting diversity.
Diversity.
Think
boobies.
About how much
real boobs and fake
better
ones.
Our society would be
if
we
no
could
homos.
Just agree to disagree and show respect.
So great.
As I wrap it up today, I want to reaffirm my commitment to the Miss California USA organization as we all come together in mutual faith and fair dealing.
Huh?
It has been a long journey for me. As you all know.
Huge journey. Huge.
But through all of this, I stand here before you today,
nice
a stronger
rack.
Woman than I was yesterday.
And a more plastic woman.
And I am proud of that. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Don't I look great? Gaze did my hair. All right.
Whatever.
Thank God we've gotten that breaking news out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes, Chris.
Huge news.
There's breaking Big Beaver news to get to.
What?
Big news on the Big Beaver Corridor, Jim.
Right outside of Detroit?
Exit 69.
That's right.
Not kidding. That's the Big Beaver Corridor. Troy, Michigan City officials are spending $5 million to make over the Big Beaver Corridor. That is a lot to spend on your Big Beaver Corridor.
That's a lot of mowing.
Woo! Irresistible dense shrubbery and water features on the Big Beaver will lure motorists off the I-75 into Hooters.
I bet.
According to the story, Big Beaver improvements include a park and a ramp. Wow! I need
a
ramp to my Big Beaver Corridor.
Wow. I need a ramp to your Hooters.
Troy officials hope landscaping improvements in the Big Beaver Corridor will impress drivers enough to stop their vehicles, get out, and take a closer look. Hey!
Big Beaver.
That's
corridor.
Nice beaver.
Wow.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Honey, get out of the car!
It's much better than the big ball of twine.
The addition of a park and a pedestrian-friendly renovation for sidewalks and crosswalks at the intersection of Rochester and Big Beaver Road, which is the Big Beaver Corridor,
right.
Scheduled to begin. Significant landscaping in and around the four ramp. Wow! Four ramps into your Big Beaver. Interchange at I-75 and Big Beaver. The assistant city manager said it's hoped that the new look of the four Big Beaver ramps off I-75 will convince drivers to stop in the city. When getting off the I-75, you'll see a much denser, greater amount of landscaping and water features, other improvements.
I don't think more dense landscaping is what it needs.
He said the improvements will give the park a wow factor.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big beaver.
That's a ramp into that
four
big
ramps
beaver corridor.
That, wow.
Woof.
Wow.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, back with the White House throwing Wanda Sykes under the bus, GOP rebranding, and much more. As we can, yeah, it turns out it was too much.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. That's not technically true. 33 minutes after the hour.
Most of them are.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Steve in Long Island on Miss California, keeping her crown. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
She says she's compassionate, but a person with compassion treats people the way they want to be treated, but yet she's excluding a large population of the people that help her beautify herself to put that plastic body and face out there.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're icky.
Exactly.
Ew.
Michael in Minneapolis on Miss California. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, it just seems to me it's kind of childish, you guys making
all these jokes and stuff about her. I mean, she believes marriage is between a man and a woman.
And we have the right to disagree with her and tell her so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you guys,
I
listen to the show, and, like, I mean, you're entertaining, but I just...
And yet childish, and welcome to morning radio, sir.
Hey. So it's okay for her to say what she believes, but it's not okay for us to say what we believe
or
about her?
Mock her when we think she's being ridiculous?
Well, I mean, you guys, like, I respect, you know, your guys' opinions. I'm just saying it's kind of childish to sit and make fun of her like this.
That's kind of what we do.
That's sort of what we do. Morning radio. But I appreciate it. Thanks, Michael. Thanks.
Hey, you guys are making jokes on, like, morning radio. That's not allowed.
I'll break out the slide whistle.
Hey. You should just talk about serious stuff. You know, she's got a right to say stuff. But
Patton, Madison, we got to stop the mocking of people. Hello,
hey.
Pat.
Hi. Hey, I happen to be a gay female, and I really think it's okay for her to have her opinion, and it's okay for you to criticize her. I just think that, you know, people have... She wasn't that abrasive about gay people, and I just think she's getting a bit of a raw deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's got a right to her opinion.
Criticism, that's all.
Yeah, no, I don't think, at least I didn't say she doesn't have a right to her opinion, you know.
Sure.
But it is obviously a controversial subject, and people are very emotional about it, so I think that some of the reaction was expected.
Absolutely.
All right, perhaps she needs to be rebranded, like the Republican Party, as more inclusive and more big tenty.
They're still trying that, huh?
They branded her when they gave her the fake boobs? Wow, that seems excessive.
The leader of the Republican Party on the rebranding and Cheney.
Dick Cheney is one lone voice in the Republican Party. What motivates Dick Cheney? He's not hot for interns.
Clinton
he has all the money he needs. He's not a torture freak.
Oh,
he doesn't
want to
run for political office. Dick Cheney is motivated by love for his country.
What?
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Well, technically, it's lust for power, greed, and sense of entitlement. And, I wish to crush lesser people under my booty, but, you know, thanks, Rush.
Senator McCain said Sunday his party needs to be inclusive without betraying its fundamental principles.
Basically, be inclusive without being inclusive.
Which are what at this point? He said, maybe I didn't do a good enough job about communicating with the American people. Oh, no, no.
Computer says, yeah.
Oh, no, we got it. Yeah. We got it. We just said...
Computer says, no.
No. Mm-hmm. John McCain.
I don't want to moderate either. I think our policies, the principles of our party are as viable today as they have in the past. In all due respect, the previous administration, by letting spending getting completely out of control, by betraying some of those principles of our party, cost us a couple of elections.
Oh, dear. You were just a really old man articulating really old ideas, Grampy. That's what that was all about there.
Death stalks you at every turn. There it is. Death. You know, my age, the mind starts playing tricks.
Okay.
Death.
Okay.
Oh, where were we? Death.
Sadly for the Republican Party, Michael Steele is still in the hizzy.
Yeah, and
starting, he's still talking.
And he's starting to turn on his own kind, too.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he was given 3 hours. I guess it was yesterday morning.
3 hours?
To host.
He was guest hosting that their scintillating Bill Bennett radio show.
Oh. Yeah, and when you give someone kind of inexperienced in radio that long of a time, you tend to say things you wish you hadn't.
Mm-hmm. He said Romney lost because he's Mormon. Oh, dear.
It was the base that rejected Mitt because of his switch on pro-life from pro-choice to pro-life.
Oh.
It was the base that rejected Mitt because it had issues with Mormonism.
Uh-huh.
It was the base that rejected Mitt because they thought he was back and forth and waffling on those very economic issues you're talking about. I mean, I hear what you're saying. But before we even got to a primary vote, the base had made very clear they had issues with Mitt. Because if they didn't, he would have defeated John McCain in those primaries.
I think he just puts the other stuff there in window dressing for saying the base, they don't like Mormons.
Says,
3 hours of that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Did he talk about reducing crime like Bill Bennett did? I kind of...
I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime,
Mm-hmm. You could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down.
So no, he didn't.
So basically, if you...
So Michael Steele essentially was kind of admitting, it's my party's a bunch of bigots. We have to have people that are just sort of, you know, tokens. Wait a minute.
Hey.
Okay. Mitt Romney said he wants to make one thing clear. He's not sniping at Sarah Palin. You remember earlier this month, he talked about Time Magazine's list, and he said, oh, is that a most beautiful people list? Which was a little... And not most influential.
That's right.
He said his remark was a joke. He said it's real hard in the world these days to be humorous, particularly, I find, when you're not funny. That also makes it very difficult.
Yeah. Hmm. There's that.
Hmm. He said, what is it? He was asked what he really thinks about Palin. He said Sarah Palin and Rush are two of the most influential voices in our party, and thank heavens for that.
Hmm.
Okay. I just like the way, you know, they're such a little island of misfit toys, the Republican Party at this point.
We got to have a listening tour. Listening tour is what we need. It's not a listening tour. That's crazy. Who ever said it was a listening tour?
Speaking of one of the misfits from the island, Tom Tancredo called Barack Obama a cult leader the other day.
A cult leader?
Yes.
All right.
He said he's not just a political figure. He's truly a cult leader. He says, you just don't know the size of the cult, how big it is, or if it's shrinking or growing. Well, according to the polls, it's about 60-70% of the American people, I guess, were in the cult.
Odd choice of words. If Obama is a cult leader, then Ronald Reagan was a cult leader back in the 80s.
Yes, so there you go again.
Good Lord.
Stephanie and Madison on Torture. Hello, Steph.
Hey, guys. Well, if... so crazy. You have, like, nutso collars, including me. But
yes.
Well, first of all, the dude that was talking about, oh, because these guys didn't have their little military outfits on, I can't even follow his point.
Yeah. He thinks the Geneva Convention mostly talks about outfits.
No, oh, my God. What a headache. Anyway... And then the other thing is Cheney. I mean, is there a way to put a gag order on him until he's testifying at the Hague?
I'd save your story for the courtroom, my friend. Can I have another little tiny violin? One last Island of Misfit Toys Republican story. GOP women, a minority in a minority.
Oh, no.
Women make up almost 51% of the U.S. population, but less than 10% of the House and Senate GOP, a gender disconnect that could make the Republicans climb back to power even steeper than it would be otherwise. They're a party that has essentially figured out how to appeal to nobody. Nobody.
Kind of like our show.
Exactly. Senator Olympia Snow notices she's part of a shrinking minority.
Shrimping.
There's probably more women in shrimping than there are in the Republican caucus.
They do more lobstering in Maine up there. Yeah.
Republican women say they feel the problem literally when their male colleagues nudge them to the front of the GOP press conferences to break up the solid line of middle-aged white men in neckties. Republicans suffer a gender cap gap. 22% of House Democrats are women. Only 9% of House Republicans are in the Senate. Nearly 23% of the women are Democrats. Democrats are women. Only 10% of the Republicans are. Oh, dear. Sad, wilting little party.
Oh, yeah.
And if Rush Limbaugh has his way, Olympia Snow will be a pretty... Cut out! All of your...
We'll take her.
Exactly. All right, 42 minutes after the hour, the White House throws Wanda Sykes under the bus and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ben in Rockville, Maryland on Miss California keeping her crown. Hi, Ben.
Hey, I was thinking, depending upon when she signed that contract, she may not have broken any rules. Because the contract says you can't show your breasts. Well, the breasts she had back then when the picture taken aren't the breasts she has now.
Technically.
Hey! Yeah. There was still side boob.
Mike in Texas, you're on the Stephanie
Huge
Miller Show.
Poop.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I don't think that she should have lost her crown because of the pictures, but because she politicized her office with her public stance after the pageant and her association with, what was it, the National Organization of Marriage?
Yeah, NOM. Yeah.
Oh,
NOM.
Yeah.
But you know what? She did break the rules by posing as a 17-year-old for topless pictures.
Yeah.
That was against pageant rules.
I thought it was lying about her, not divulging, like, all the, which, I don't know, there was more pictures than she said there were. I don't know what, I don't remember what the whole, I'd have to brush up on my pageant rules. It's been a while since America's Junior Miss Pageant in 1979, in which I was fourth runner-up. Okay, let's go to...
And Miss Congeniality.
Exactly.
Because you were so damn ugly.
Yeah, the other girls knew I wouldn't win. Oh, Werewolves of London. Tracy in Texas.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the fact that Vanessa Williams lost her crown because of those pictures
right.
that
yep.
came out.
Oh.
And nobody seemed to remember.
But that was different
that.
When you think about it, because that was
pictures.
That was hot girl-on-girl action.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but it's still the same pictures. And Michael still yep. is so embarrassing to me, it's ridiculous.
Listen, I hear
you.
Yeah,
he's embarrassing to everybody.
All right. Dave in Buffalo on Miss California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Mama and the Mook.
Good morning.
As a heterosexual male, there's two important reasons why breeders need to support gay marriage. When two gays hook up, doesn't that leave two women available?
And when two women
hook up, that's just hot.
That's the squeezy factor. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, but what if there were two bull dykes? I mean, would you be for that? What?
I have some. Can I have some infomercial music, please? Looky here, what's for sale? Speaking of the topic of the day, for sale in New York City, torture devices from the 16th century.
Yay!
You know what that means? Dick Cheney's regifting. A variety of torture devices from the 16th century, including shame masks to enforce silence. Oh, maybe we could put one of those on Dick Cheney so he could STFU for a second.
Actually, I can keep talking. More incriminating of it.
14-foot table-like rack to stretch the victim's body, a tongue terror to punish heretics and blasphemers.
Ow!
An auction house in New York plans to auction the privately owned collection with proceeds to go to Amnesty International and other organizations committed to preventing torture in today's world. That's good. The items are described as possibly the world's most extensive collection of historical torture devices. He declined to identify the owner.
Yeah, probably wise.
Just saying. It's Dick Cheney. Okay. All right. The White House is keeping its distance from Wanda Stein. I knew this was going to happen. They have to, of course, go, oh, I don't. Robert Gibbs said, I don't know how these guests get booked. He said he hadn't spoken to the president about Sykes, but said, I don't think, let's skip to Robert Gibbs. He talked about there's a lot of topics better left for serious reflection rather than comedy.
I think there are a lot of topics that are better left for serious reflection rather than comedy. I think there's no doubt that 9/11 is part of that.
I didn't feel like the joke was about 9/11. It was about Rush Limbaugh, but all right.
Whatever.
I understand.
I can see his point.
Yeah.
By the way, I missed this one, the Wanda Sykes joke about Dick Cheney. She said, Dick Cheney, oh my God, he's a scary man. Scares me to death. I tell my kids, I say, look, if two cars pull up and one is a stranger and the other car is Dick Cheney, get in the car with the stranger.
That's good.
Oh, and you got me Obama's boner joke that he stole from me about the boner being very tan.
Yes, I did.
In the next 100 days, our bipartisan outreach will be so successful that even John Boehner will consider becoming a Democrat. After all, we have a lot in common. He is a person of color. Although not a color that appears in the natural world. What's up, John?
That cracks me up when the president cracks himself up. It's like a Carol Burnett sketch. All right. Britt Hume on the
One might think that a black tie dinner sponsored by the White House Correspondents Association and attended by the president and much of the rest of the Washington political hierarchy would be an inappropriate forum for such, quote, jokes. But such is the poisonous atmosphere in this capital these days that such dinners, and there are a lot of such dinners, have more than once been the scene of such comments. If a conservative comment, though, had made such a joke about a liberal commentator accusing him of being a drugged-out terrorist and wishing him organ failure, the comments would immediately have been condemned as hate speech, a term no one seems to be applying to Wanda Sykes today.
Well, no, but they said it was inappropriate and over the line, which it was, the kidney failure thing. But the drug thing is completely true.
Well, so, thank you.
Yeah, those aren't accusations.
Need we start listing the amount of inappropriate things Rush Limbaugh has said about people?
Yeah.
Interesting. Sean Hannity on Wanda Sykes.
We got the correspondence dinner
at one point, didn't it? Wanda Sykes' vicious, cruel, unfair attacks. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if this were a talk show host saying this about the anointed one, Barack Obama, what they said about Rush.
Who is not a drug addict.
Right.
Just saying. Happened to be true.
Unless nicotine is counted as a drug.
Yes. We don't have any information on that, and there are no pictures.
There are plenty of pictures of Obama with his shirt off.
All
right. As Wanda Sykes pointed out.
All right. By the way, we mentioned that noted equine hermaphrodite Ann Coulter. She mentioned that waterboarding, what did she say? It's not torture?
It's only, a man, yes, baby.
Only when you attach electrodes to your testicles is it torture, and I guess she would know. That's a weekend for her.
Man, Coulter, baby.
Whew, that was torture. Attaching electrodes to your testicles. That's torture.
Ooh. Wow.
And she would know from attaching electrodes to your testicles. She does that for fun.
Didn't she? Well, to hers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they're big enough to withstand it.
That's just lemons.
That's foreplay for her.
They make electrodes big enough for this.
I'm more of a man than any liberal is.
Computer says, yes. I have never told anyone what I'm about to tell you. I like to dress in women's clothing.
Testicles.
Man, Coulter, baby.
Wow.
Man, Coulter.
Testicles.
Man, Coulter.
Thank you, Ken and Cleveland.
Man, Coulter, baby.
All right. So, by the by, the president announced the coalition of U.S. health groups. They were there with him at a press conference. They would cut rising costs by $2 trillion over the next decade. It was a coalition representing doctors, hospitals, drug manufacturers, insurers, laborers. They agreed to help reduce the rise in health care costs by 1.5 percentage points per year for 10 years. The president called the commitment a watershed event in the long, elusive quest for health care reform. The president yesterday.
Well, what's brought us all together today is a recognition that we can't continue down the same dangerous road we've been traveling for so many years. That costs are out of control, and that reform is not a luxury that can be postponed, but a necessity that cannot wait.
So, you know, I was saying earlier to the congressman we had on that I think this is, you know, we have to start somewhere with health care. You know, I was looking at the fact, it just is stunning to me still when I look at the actual facts of health care in the United States. Mm-hmm. We have the most costly health care system in the world, but we still have almost 50 million people uninsured.
Yep.
Studies show we lag behind other developed nations on indicators of health care quality, including life expectancy and infant mortality. I mean, who thinks that that's okay in the United States of America? So,
and a lot of the costs are because of duplicative,
unfortunately,
paperwork.
You know, the United States, is bureaucracy. A huge, huge country, and it's going to take a long time to turn this battleship around.
Well, you know, you had Boehner out there already poo-pooing everything. It's like, unless we all come together, we're never going to solve this problem. Yeah. I mean, to me, this was a change from the 90s with Bill Clinton, those same groups.
Yeah.
Fought back. They ultimately killed health care reform. So at least we have people coming together. The congressman today said they're not in much of a position to negotiate,
right,
which is good, I guess.
But we already have a, you know, single-payer system, Medicare. And why not just expand that, and then you can have private insurance on top of it?
You know, Jim Ward just solved the high school health care crisis.
I mean, Jim Ward
in
Harmony.
And he did an excellent Kim Jong-il today.
That's right. Jim, I think you should run for Brad Sherman's seat.
Oh, okay.
Jim, your work is done there. You can go home now. 57 minutes after the hour, and that's it for us today.
Be in no position to complain about the potholes.
That's right.
I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.